PodPoint was founded in 2009. And they've worked with Barclays at every stage of their journey. With our business funding support, they've gone from startup to operating one of the largest networks of electric vehicle charging points in the UK. We even helped coordinate and sponsor their IPO.
You have arrived at the London Stock Exchange.
Grow your business. Bank on Barclays. Search Barclays Business Banking.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
It is Mystery Hour. Crikey, that's taken me by surprise. So goodness knows what kind of reaction you're currently having. It means, because I completely forgot to mention it up until this moment in time, you've got a better chance of getting through than you would have in normal weeks, when every time I remind you at about 10 to 12 that Mystery Hour's on the way, the switchboard fills up and I can't get any calls on the subject that I'm actually talking about, which was, for most of the last hour, about government plans to help people back into work if they are off with long-term sickness, particularly in the realms of mental health. So allow me to draw a line under that by reading this rather powerful message. James, I thank you for taking this hour to talk about anxiety and depression. So many people do not understand, even if they try. I've just had a bout of severe depression and anxiety myself, and I'm now on the up. I know I'll be back at work in a couple of weeks, and it's something I can now actually look forward to. To everyone struggling, please don't lose hope. People can and do get better. All my love to anybody suffering. So this is your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. You have a question, a mystery, a conundrum, a riddle bubbling away in the back of your brain or possibly even on the tip of your tongue. And you know it must have an answer. And you know that the massed ranks of Mystery Hour listeners will almost certainly be able to come up with that answer. So you ring in with the question, 03456060973, and you ring in with the answer, 03456060973. Not the same person, obviously, that'd be weird. My favourite contribution of the day receives a Mystery Hour board game. I was about to make a comment about podcasts there, but I'm going to award it by 1 o'clock today. So if you're listening on the podcast, it's already gone. It's already been awarded. Full terms and conditions for this competition can be found at lbc.co.uk. More details and indeed opportunities to buy your own Mystery Hour board game can be found at Mystery Hour, or one word, mysteryhour.co.uk. I think that pretty much does it, doesn't it? 12:07 is the time. It's Thursday. That can mean only one thing. Mystery Hour is upon us. Mitch is in Luton. Mitch, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Mitch.
Good afternoon, James. Lovely to speak with you again.
Likewise, Mitch.
And given the state of the water companies and water, excuse the pun, I know this is a fluid question, but how long is tap water safe to drink once it's taken from the tap?
You mean if you keep it in a bottle?
Correct, yeah, because I fill my water bottles up with tap water. And I put them in my rucksack and, you know, carry them around with me.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh, after a while, if I haven't drunk it, is it still safe to drink? And I think maybe after a couple of weeks, it probably needs to be changed, but I just don't know.
A couple of weeks in your rucksack?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way I don't know that I'll be able to answer this, I mean, it's safe in the sense of it's not going to get polluted as a consequence of being in a sealed bottle in your rucksack. But mm-hmm. bottled water has a sell-by date, doesn't it? It has a use-by date because particularly plastic bottles, I think like microplastics. I don't know why I'm talking, Mitch. I don't know why I'm trying to answer this question. I'm sorry. I started off so confidently there.
Yeah,
I was kind of thinking... Yeah, but because I think we've had the question about why does water have a sell-by date or a use-by date on it? And I think the answer is going to be part of the answer to your question, isn't it? Probably.
Okay. Well, I guess they just put so many things in water, don't they, that, you know, additives into it.
No. But that isn't going to change in the course of it being in your rucksack. It's not going to become less safe for a reason that is in the water when it comes out of the tap. If it becomes less drinkable, it will be because of something that's happened to the water in the vessel, in the flask.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
I think.
So how long is that?
How long is a piece of string?
Exactly. How long is a drop of water?
I will be surprised if we get a definitive answer to this, Mitch, but I'm not ruling it out.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, Mitch. 12:09 is the time. 03456060973 is the number. Andy's in Morden. Andy, question or answer?
I've got a question for you, James.
Carry on.
What makes an English county a shire? So you will have got Hampshire, but you've got Sussex and Surrey.
Yes, we could be here a while. Are you going to go through all of them?
Yeah, so you've got Norfolk, Suffolk and Essex.
Yes.
They're not shires, but then you've got Cambridgeshire, Devonshire, but Cornwall isn't a shire.
Is it Devonshire? So is... Does it? I always think of it as Devon.
Devonshire, maybe not.
Maybe it was Devonshire once, I don't know.
You got Shropshire.
Start again, slow down, start again. What was the first one?
So the first one's Hampshire.
Yeah.
Hampshire, but Sussex and Surrey aren't because they border them. You've got Shropshire.
Worcestershire, no, that's it, my theory's gone. Worcestershire would have been an example. I was thinking that it's to do with county towns, but that doesn't work either. Why do some counties have? Why are some counties shires and other counties aren't? I know a bit of the answer.
Go on then.
The Anglo-Saxons, like Anglo-Saxon jurisdictions, if you like. Do you see what I mean? So
yeah.
I think you've heard of the hundreds. There's a hundred, you know, and I think a shire is one up from a hundred. So some of them will throw back to Anglo-Saxon eras, and presumably the ones that aren't shires are a bit more modern inventions, but I don't know.
Then you've got County Durham, which is neither.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. That's come up in the past as well. County Durham. And remember, you know, things change. Like, a lot of people are still very unhappy about South Yorkshire and Humberside, and you know, the governments make decisions to change these designations over the years, but we'll focus exclusively.
Not to mention Rutland. I mean, that's been gone for years.
Well, precisely. We will focus and Wessex as well. We will focus exclusively on the question of why some counties are shires and other counties are not.
Absolutely. Thank you.
No, thank you. It is 11 minutes after 12. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I wonder if I'm going to be able to get the county right for every town of every caller for the rest of Mystery. Should I try? It shouldn't be that hard, should it? Unless you're ringing from a really obscure place. Rob is in Lichfield in Staffordshire.
Correct. That is right.
Question or answer, Rob?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on.
What is it that makes your blood run cold? Like, what's the physical, the physiological reaction that causes the sensation of your blood running cold?
What are we talking about? Are we talking about that weird shiver?
Yeah, sort of thing. So I enjoy fail videos a bit more than I should do. Me too.
It drives Eleanor potty. I'm constantly calling her over in the morning when we're supposed to be putting a show together and showing her footage of someone slipping over on ice or something like that.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
They're addictive, aren't they?
They are, very much. But the ones that get me are the ones where you see people on like push bikes and they'll fall over and they'll skin themselves on the road.
I just did it.
What causes that?
That shiver.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Because I thought it might be adrenaline, but it's not scary or exciting in any way, shape, or form.
It's hard to see what the evolutionary purpose of it would be in terms of... So, yeah, and you get it in slightly unexpected places as well, don't you, sometimes? You kind of... Like as if some... I think the phrase used to be someone's walked over your grave as well. You get that...
Yeah, similar sort of thing.
Like a weird shiver or your blood running cold. What is going on, asks Rob in Lichfield. I like that. It's already over. I'm not going to know the county here. I know that Bangor is in Northern Ireland, but I don't know which county it's in, which is to my shame. Anyway, Russ is there. Russ, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
This has been keeping me awake at night, given all the stuff that's going on in the world right now. Cans. You get a tin of tuna, and you have to use a tin opener. You get a tin of sweet corn, and it's got a ring pull on it. Who makes that decision? Is it a factory thing? Is it the goods that are in the tin? It's a worrying thing.
County Down. Really. County Down. I should have known that.
County Down.
I apologise for that.
No, it's fine. No. Yeah. At least you didn't say I was in Wales.
You could have been. I still wouldn't have known what county you were in. I'm just advertising my England, Anglo-centric world outlook, aren't I, at the moment? So it was a stupid idea to even start playing that game. Let's pretend it never happened. So why do some cans have ring pulls and other cans don't?
Yeah. Is that just like cheap factories versus cool factories, or is it the goods that are inside the tin?
Have we not had this before? Do you not remember?
You haven't, because I've been trying to get it on for about a year.
Really?
Make it up the queue. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, it's a nice question. I what could it be? We did the corned beef one. Why corned beef has a key on it? Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah,
the
key thing wasn't that. Well, that must have been to do with the war and stuff, because soldiers used to take it to war, didn't they?
Yeah, but that wouldn't explain why they still have it now, would it? It's to do with the shape of the tin or something. It all comes out in a nice block or something like that, and it needs a key because an old tin opener couldn't go around corners. I made that up, but it sounds plausible. I will find out for you. Why do some cans have ring pulls while other cans still... Are you sure? Doesn't tuna have ring pulls now?
I'll go in the kitchen now and I'll look through my cupboards if you want, mate.
Yeah, I do want you to. I think tuna has ring pulls on it now.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
Not even the posh stuff.
Really? What have you got?
Hang on. Let me have a look.
I've got nothing else to do, mate. I'll be...
Good. Okay, we're going to go through my cupboards, mate. Yeah. Here we go. Right, then.
You say the tin and I'll say whether it's got a ring pull or not. What?
Prince's tuna, no ring pull.
What date? What date is it? Could have been there for years.
No, it came from Sainsbury's last week, mate.
Oh, all right.
Other stores are available.
No ring pull.
Mooty Polpo chopped tomatoes. Very posh ones, mate.
They're nice.
Ring pull.
Ring pull, yeah.
Yeah. Heinz beans, ring pull. Let's see what else we got.
Hang on, wait there. Keith, alert the award ceremony judges, all right? Alert all the radio award ceremony. Carry on. Carry on, Russ.
I don't know what you were doing then. My wife goes out shopping. What are those things?
Tires.
Olives, mate.
In a tin. In a tin. Ring pull all day long. All right, tuna. So maybe there's an answer here.
It could be a fishy question.
It could be a very fishy question, or the fish could be the clincher. We shall find out for you, Russ. Enjoy. What are you having for lunch?
I don't know. Yeah, I've got an Indooja pork pie.
Oh, get you! Oh, that does sound nice. It's 12:16.
Here's the truth about AI. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/UK/AI for people.
When Kate and Gervais founded Health and Her in 2019, they set out to transform menopause care. Through Barclays Eagle Labs, they gained specialist industry and business expertise with support and training for the whole team. But the story doesn't end here. Because Health and Her are only just getting started, selling at major UK retailers and making a real difference to thousands of lives. Grow your business. Bank on Barclays. Search Barclays Business Banking.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
Stop sending me pictures of tins of tuna with ring pulls on them. Actual pictures. I wouldn't believe you. Of course I believe you. But it doesn't alter the premise of the question, which is why do some tins have ring pulls and some tins don't? Admittedly, it confuses the issue slightly for Russ, because I thought I'd seen a ring pull on a tin of tuna. But obviously we thought there was something about tuna that would explain why they have no ring pulls while other tins have ring pulls. It clearly can't be that, because ring pulls, something tuna tins, beans. Answer 03456060973. Glenn's in Basildon. Glenn, question or answer?
Answer, mate. Let's talk about shires.
It's an Anglo-Saxon.
Of course it is, mate. Of course it is. Now, it was originally spelled S-C-I-R.
Skier.
S and C is the equivalent of modern SH in old English.
Of course
English.
It is, yeah. Sorry,
so
mate.
Sheer.
For people who don't know, Glenn is practically fluent in Anglo-Saxon, and I am not. No, I know not quite. To be fair, Glenn, all the years you've been ringing in to answer Anglo-Saxon questions, you should be fluent by now.
Yeah, but I've got other hobbies.
That's very true. Carry on.
Right, so, yeah, and the coin of the Shire was known as a shearling.
Shearling.
So where we get the term shilling.
Yes. Oh, look at that. Okay.
Right, now, a shire tradition was actually a measurement of land. So the Anglo-Saxons measured their farmland in hides. And a hide is roughly 100 to 120 acres.
Yeah.
100 hides make 100.
I got that bit right.
I was listening. I was listening. You're doing well, James.
Nice one. Thank you.
And I can't remember the exact measurement, but I think it's 10 hundreds make a shire.
Okay.
So Devonshire would have been Defnashire. You know, Oxfordshire was Oxfordshire. And things like that. And we actually pronounce, when we say, for example, Oxfordshire, we're actually saying shear correctly.
You're right.
Rather than just saying shire.
So that's why some are called shires.
that's it.
And the ones that are not will not have their roots in Anglo-Saxon divisions. Is the
They would have been Anglo-Saxon places, but it's like anything. You know, why do we call some areas land and some areas like, you know, I don't know, Mons or whatever. You know what I mean? Or hill.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the Anglo-Saxons decided to call that area a shire rather than, you know, land or, you know, place.
Would it have had a kind of a lord or something in place? Maybe
they would have had a reeve or a reva.
There you go.
Known as a shire reva, which is where we get the word sheriff.
Sheriff. Yeah, I could have got it's all coming. Yeah. It's all coming together. So
some
of the counties that are not shires will have the same history as the counties that do. It's just the lap of the gods on whether or not they were called shires back in the day. Pretty much. Yeah. Fair. So pretty Sussex. Much, yeah. What's the derivation of Sussex? Do we know?
South Saxon.
So there it is. That proves it's Saxon, doesn't it?
Sussex Saxon.
And the same with Wessex, West Saxon, Essex, West East Saxon. Why is there no sex?
Because they would have been Angles and not Saxons.
That's like a vow of celibacy.
They were Angles, quite simply.
Oh, is that a god? Well, there you go. All right. Got it. Yeah. Well, look at that. Qualifications?
I love Anglo-Saxon history.
Well, I do too every time I talk to you. That's lovely stuff. Well played, Glenn.
Thank you very much, mate.
Thank you very much. I thought the joke deserved more. I'm not going to lie. I thought the no sex, vow of celibacy, not Essex, Wessex, Sussex, no sex, not sex, vow of celibacy. No? No? All right, just me. Joe's in Forest Hill. Joe, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Joe.
I've wanted to learn how to do sign language for the longest.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered, have deaf people created slang within the sign language? So, or have they created, like, you know, when we were younger, people used to talk gibberish.
Yes.
I wonder if they've created, like, a little secret language that only two mates can learn, so...
Oh, gosh. Well, you wouldn't have to be deaf to do that, would you?
I mean, but that's what I mean. So, you, obviously, as
but
you learn
got,
sign language...
If you know BSN, if you've learnt sign language, then can you kind of... ad lib, almost, you're asking, aren't you? Can you kind of extemporise? Well, what do we mean by slang? Don't swear. What do we mean by slang?
I mean, maybe not slang, but even like Cockney slang or anything like that. Like, you know, have they created signs that could mean two things, but if you're from a certain area, you know, it would only mean...
Like apples
thing.
And pears or something like that.
Exactly
right.
Like that, yeah.
Okay, I very, very much doubt it. But I don't know. It's an interesting thing to be interested about. And also, Joe, when you say you've wanted to learn sign language for the longest time, why haven't you?
Just I've not been exposed to. I don't really have any deaf mates or anything. To be fair, I want to learn it, but I've not had nothing to
fair
give
enough.
Me a push. To be fair,
it's an answer, isn't it? You're like Glenn with his Anglo-Saxon. 20. He doesn't have any Anglo-Saxon mates, but he still learned the language. It's 23 minutes after 12. Anne-Marie, it says here, in the Swiss Alps. Can we be a bit more specific, please, Anne-Marie?
I'm 1 hour from Zurich. Hi, James.
Hello.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I've always wanted to say that.
Wow, this is exciting. Question, all right, how near Mont Blanc are you?
No, I'm just at the start of the Alps in a very tiny village called Amden. It's very, very beautiful.
Oh, delightful. Question or answer? Carry on.
So... I've been living here for 6 years, and I would say that I have intermediate German language level now.
Oh, yes. It's a very linguistic little run of questions, this, from Anglo-Saxon to sign language to German. Carry on.
And I feel like the more I improve my German, sometimes I start to forget English words.
Really?
Obviously can still speak English, but if, for example, somebody would ask me, what does that mean? I feel like I kind of get like a brain freeze. Like, why does that happen? Why do I kind of forget my, you know, words from my native tongue?
How often do you speak English these days?
Oh, all of the time.
Oh,
my boyfriend is German, but we communicate in English together, yeah.
So at home, you're speaking English all the time? But when you're out, you're speaking German all the time, or trying to, most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time, mixed. I've got like a mixture.
Can I ask a personal question? Would you mind?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
Go for it. I'm 46.
Yeah, that's an interesting age.
What are you going to say? Could it be like menopause or something?
No, I would not. I mean, even if I was thinking that, Anne-Marie, there's no way I'm going to say it out loud. But I think that I started finding it a little bit harder to remember words and things around about 6 years ago, I was 46, 47. So it may not have anything to do with the increasing facility for German. It may just be that our brains are ever so slightly winding down. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, is that... So what we want to know, is there a relationship between learning a new language and forgetting some of the old one?
Yeah.
Like we have a finite amount of space in our brain for language. It's unlikely, isn't it? Isn't it more likely? So I don't know if you've ever noticed me doing it. I'd like to think that 10 years ago, I could pluck every single word that I wanted out of my own vocabulary without even pausing. But now sometimes I say on air, what's the word I'm looking for? What's the... It's not there anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it
but,
could
you know,
just be
I
that.
Noticed as well with native German speakers, you know, if you ask them, oh, what does that mean again in their language?
Yeah.
Sometimes they would say they would have the same experience. With
yeah, but
their
they're
own
old
language,
as well, aren't they? They're middle-aged, aren't they?
They might be old, yeah.
Yeah, you see? I'll find out for you, but I don't think we're going to like the answer to this one, Anne-Marie. I don't think either of us going to like, yeah, that is just getting old. There's not much of a silver lining to that part of it. I shall find out for you. So that is whether or not learning a new language compromises your ability to remember the old one. 12:26 is the time. Anne-Marie, take care. Dave's in North Shields. Dave, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on, Dave.
Hello. So basically, I was wondering, why do people get monkeys and apes confused? It's something I've noticed throughout my time. So one of the bench has got a book where you press a button and it tells you what the animal is.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
When you press the button, it says monkey.
Right.
So one of the teachers at the Burns nursery, she had this little gorilla and she's going, oh, look at the monkey. And I says, oh, it's not a monkey, it's an ape, it's a gorilla. And I find this throughout. I've seen it on the telly, all over social media, monkeys and apes, they're not the same. Why is that? Do people just not care?
What's an ape then?
A gorilla. An orangutan, a bonobo, chimpanzee. Monkeys are generally smaller with tails.
A bonobo.
A bonobo, it's a bit like a chimp.
B-O-N-O-B-O. I get it. Yeah. It comes up quite a lot on... I do this word game every morning on the New York Times app, Spelling Bee, where you've got to make words. It gives you 7 letters. You've got to make as many words as you can out of them. And I always get bonbon. And then as soon as I get bonbon, I get bonobo. Bonobo. I don't say it as winningly as you do. It suits your accent, that word, more than almost any other word in the English language.
Because I say it all the time, because I'm always arguing with people who think that monkeys are apes.
When you say all the time, Dave, in an average week, how many arguments will you have about monkeys and apes?
A couple of times, because it's everywhere, and I don't know if it's just me that's noticing it, or if people just don't care. When I question people about it, sometimes they look at us and they go, oh, who do you think you are, like David Attenborough?
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, I know the difference between a monkey and an ape. So why do people, do they just not care?
We're apes, aren't we? Are we apes?
Yes, we are apes, yes.
We are apes. And so what's the distinction then? What's the definition?
Well, I'm not David Attenborough.
No.
But I know that monkeys are smaller with tails generally, and apes are big, more like us.
I suppose most people listening to this program would prove your point, wouldn't it?
Well,
like most people would not, when pushed, be able to tell you what the difference between an ape and a monkey was. Are all apes monkeys?
No, apes aren't monkeys.
I'm going to get you cross now, aren't I? He's going to have a go at me. He's going to come for me.
I could be wrong. Maybe somebody could.
But monkeys aren't apes and apes aren't monkeys. They are completely different semiforms.
Yes. So, you know, like people used to say Michael Jackson had a monkey, he didn't, he had a chimpanzee.
And did that used to really wind you up?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
But they're teaching this to my kids.
How often would you correct people who said that Michael Jackson had a monkey?
All the time.
Would you never let it go?
Mm-mm.
You'd never let it slide. You'd never once say, that's all right. Don't worry.
If you're on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and there's a picture of a chimpanzee and you say that it's a monkey.
Yeah.
You're wrong. Unless they might say, actually, yeah, you're right.
Because so few people care.
Because they don't care.
Well, it's an odd question. I don't know that anyone would know the answer definitively. It's fascinating, mate. But I don't know that anyone is going to know the definitive answer to why the distinction between apes and monkeys is so widely either ignored or not understood.
Yeah.
Are they all primates?
Well, I don't know. Somebody can tell me.
Before you go, it's on the board. I'll try and get you an answer. But would you just say that word once more?
Bonobo.
Have a great day. Tim Humphrey has your headlines.
Yes, that price includes full technical support.
Oh dear, the buy now button on each page isn't clickable.
Layla's web development agency will soon have more clients than they can handle. To avoid a code red, she needs new programmers.
Okay, I've just tweaked the code, so everything should be fine now.
Indeed can help her find great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Because Indeed's hiring platform makes finding great talent easy. To start hiring, visit indeed.com/try today.
Here's the truth about AI. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/UK/AI for people.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
33 minutes after 12 is the time. How long is water? How long does water stay drinkable if you take it out of the tap and put it in a flask or a bottle? We've done Shires. What is happening when your blood runs cold? You get that weird shiver. You watch something happen to someone else and you say, oh, wee, like that. I can't read my own bloody writing. Oh, why do some tins have ring pulls and other tins don't? Is there any slang in sign language? That was Joe, wasn't it? Do you lose... If you're learning a new language, do you forget some of the old one, or is it just old age when you start struggling to remember words or meanings? And why are we so negligent as a society about the distinction between apes, including bonobos, and monkeys, including... Oh, no, he's going to kill me if I get this wrong. I'll leave it there. 0345 6060973 is the number that you need. We like that, Dave. It says Kate says, you're the second best caller ever. Second only to the guy who made James cry a few weeks ago when he was talking about having listened to the show in jail. I didn't cry. I had something in my eye. How dare you? What do you think I am? Perry's in Canary Wharf. Perry, question or answer?
Hi, James. Yeah, I've got a question.
Carry on, Perry.
Okay, a little bit of background first. I've almost completed 40 years in the IT industry. Okay. I've seen a lot of changes in that time.
You certainly have.
Particularly when the internet really took off and more recently AI, and we use AI quite a lot. So my question really is not so much about artificial intelligence, it's about artificial consciousness. And I'm just wondering, will we ever be able to, or rather, what actually needs to happen to get to the stage where we have artificial consciousness, i.e. that the machine, maybe we wouldn't even call it machine, is self-aware, it is sentient.
Well, I mean, shouldn't you know the answer to this?
No, I don't know the answer to that.
You've done nearly 40 years in IT.
Yeah, I think it's a bit deeper than that. I think this goes into neuroscience and computer science.
Philosophy, more. It's more philosophy, I think, than computer science. Neuroscience, maybe. So what is consciousness, is what you're asking, and can it ever be emulated in a machine?
Exactly, and what needs to happen to get there? Because if you did, it would have a profoundly better user experience. You know, you can imagine an entity that has genuine empathetic interaction with
yeah.
you,
yeah.
Rather than just, you know, you type something and you get a good answer.
You could teach it to be empathetic, couldn't you? You could, you know, but that was not. That's not.
But how would
that's
you actually,
not consciousness, though. I don't know what
exactly.
Oh Lord above, this is like a philosophy. Like, what is consciousness? The awareness of my own existence.
I think if we do get an answer, it's going to be down the lines of we probably need to figure out our own consciousness before we could kind of put it into a machine.
A lot of philosophers have tried to do that. I'm thinking of Descartes' Brain in a Vat and other sort of 19th century continental philosophers, David Hume as well, epidemiology. I'd be amazed if you get an answer to this.
Well, yeah, I think you're possibly right, but there may be some kind of clever PhD students that doing those sorts of things.
True.
Computer science,
so what is consciousness?
Neuroscience are heading down that journey.
All right, let's find out. What was your first entry into the world of IT and computers?
It was a while ago. I used to work in New Zealand.
Not as a job, as a person, as a kid, or whatever. What was the first thing you do? What was your first computer?
Oh, okay. I had a those what are they called a BBC
micro.
Oh God, BBC micro, and I really? Started doing some.
Well, at
some
home, you had one of those.
Early, basic.
You had one of those at home.
At home, yeah.
Flipping heck. Well, you've spoilt my setup there, but I like the question a lot. I was hoping you'd say ZX Spectrum, and then I could have effortlessly moved to the fact that I'm doing one of the weirdest things I've done in a long time tonight, is that I am on stage at the world premiere of a film about the ZX Spectrum that called The Rubber-Keyed Wonder, made by a lovely couple called Anthony and Nicola Caulfield. And I think I'm there as the sort of idiot games player from the 1980s with some members of Sir Clive Sinclair's family. And that is happening tonight at the BFI IMAX. I think it kicks off at 6:30 or maybe slightly earlier. But it's one of those things. Quite often in my life, I get asked to do things and they're about 6 months away. So I just say yes. And then as they get closer, I think, why on earth did I say yes to that? This one is the exact opposite. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. I got such fond memories of playing on my ZX Spectrum back in the day. I can't wait to be in a room full of people who know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that, unlike the room I'm in at the moment. Thank you, Perry. Gavin's in Hull. Gavin, question or answer?
Answer for the sign language slang question.
Oh, good man. Carry on.
Yeah, so I've been signing about 20 years. My first girlfriend when I was at college, both her parents were deaf.
Oh.
And, well, her mum was actually the sign language teacher.
Okay.
And she was a teaching assistant and, you know, sort of went from there.
So you learnt it to...
I was doing it for my Duke of Edinburgh, actually.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I needed to learn a skill.
What did you do? Did you fall in love with your sign language teacher's daughter, or did you learn sign language because you'd fallen in love with her?
Kind of both. We just sort of learned together. But funnily enough, to understand how the slang works, is you have to really sort of take a step back and see how the language works.
Yes.
And really, that it's actually much more regional than people really think.
Okay.
So the BSL you'll see on the BBC, I consider it quite London-centric. So there's different signs for the same word in different regions. And I believe all that comes from is the inability to transmit from that many places over long distance. You know, so people in Hull would watch London-centric BSL on BBC and then talk to themselves. There wasn't, you know, I assume we like the Skype and Zoom era. There are people now who, you know, sign over a webcam. But if you take that out of the fairly recent equation, it becomes quite a closed circuit, you know. And
okay.
So we would meet at, you know, Thursday night, Tuesday, go to the pub at the Deaf Institute in Hull.
Right.
And we'd all be signing. But we're all from Hull, so things would creep in.
Can you describe it? What would creep in?
Yeah, so there's, I was always, me and my girlfriend at the time were considered quite lazy signers, and we tend to only use our right hand to sort of do half the sign.
So it is like slang. It is like a shortened version of something, like and you know that they know, and they know what you mean.
Yeah,
that would be geographically specific as well.
It would be, and then, you know...
Brilliant answer.
Unofficially, I've sort of taught people sign language, you know, people who want to work in special needs education and things like that, and give them a start sort of thing. And then they'd go, oh, I've read in this book that actually this is the sign. And I'd have to say, yeah, this is terrible radio, obviously, for sign language, but some people...
Oh, I like it, though.
To sign the word fist, some people put their thumb under their chin and then wiggle their other four fingers. Other people will make the sign that most people, even whether they've been taught...
For what? What was that the sign for?
For fist.
Fish,
yeah, which was quite a common one. And
I wiggle the four fingers on the same hand that my thumb is under my chin for?
Yeah, a bit like when you were a kid.
I did it the other way. I just put my thumb under my chin and then waved at Keith with the other hand. So that's fish. Yeah. You can't see me, but you know what I'm doing. Yeah, that's fish. I think it's the first time we've done sign language on the radio. I'm not even sure it is the first time. Mate, I'm not joking. I don't think it is the first time we've done sign language on the radio. That's how wacky we are, Gavin. That's how wacky we are. So, God, what would be the slang version of fish?
There wouldn't really be one. What it would more be is really strong contractions. Generally, this... disparaging words, like every slang, would creep in more than anything else. So the sign for pig is similar to the sign for egg, if you just move your arm slightly. So there's a little, between me and my girlfriend, this bit of an egg, you know, really. Yeah. Because if you pull it up to your face, it's very, you know, you can see it. Whereas if you just want to talk discreetly in a room full of people who can sign, you come up with a little shorthand and you...
Of course, like, you do. Of course, you
and
do.
Contractions and it goes in. But, like I say, the key difference is it doesn't get transmitted from region to region like language does over the radio and television and where it's creeping, because unless you're directly interacting, you're not going to pick up the slang. So you might find a slang in Hull that means nothing. Anyway, as in proper, you know, in that from the proper signs are different from Scotland, London, the UK, and then...
Wow, that's a superb answer. And you still use it a lot now?
I've still got... I broke up with that, you know, young love thing, broke up with that girlfriend nearly 20 years ago, but I've got friends who... Well, interestingly, I've got a friend who was deaf when I met him, and now he's got a cochlear implant, and I still find it difficult to talk to him the way we used to. It is like jumping language, but...
You prefer your kind of your legacy, your linguistic legacy is signed. So that's how you feel more comfortable communicating with him.
The two of us, because we met in a nightclub.
Yeah. Wow.
And I always struggle to hear people, you know, talking in a nightclub. You know, it's like you end up leaning in and you just sort of get this shout. Are you all right? So then I saw, because he's quite tall as well, he stands out. So I saw my mate Dan signing, introduced myself, and then we just chat away. He didn't have to lean in. You knew exactly what the other person was saying. Do you want a drink?
Oh, how lovely. Oh, well, this is one of my favourite answers of all time, Gavin. I could listen to you all day. Have a round of applause. I already know what your qualifications are. You learned sign language to pull a girl. Sweet.
Pretty much.
There you go, an example to us all. Thank you to Andrew as well, who's just sent me a picture of those cooling towers that we were talking to James Graham about yesterday, the ones up in Ratcliffe-on-Soar. Andrew's just driving past, I think. Or no, I think are you on the train or are you driving up? Are you not taking photographs while you're driving, Andrew? But goodness me. I saw something beautiful yesterday about someone who used to tell their kids that they were cloud factories. So if when they were active, these enormous cooling towers, they used to be all over the country. I spoke to James Graham, the superb screenwriter, playwright, author, genius, yesterday about his desire to save the ones from his old neck of the woods in the East Midlands, South Yorkshire, East Midlands sort of borders. And it touched quite a lot of you. A lot of you are quite moved by it. And my favourite contribution was the because such a beautiful thing to say. When they were active, you'd have these big billowing clouds of white steam coming out of the top of them. And imagine telling your kids that they were cloud factories. Isn't that a lovely thing? I thought so.
Hey, mate, just past a room there. What's with the giant pile of letters?
Letters? Ah, my bill room.
Bill room?
Yeah. Can't open them, can't throw them out, so they go in the pile.
You've got a giant pile of unopened bills, big enough for a room, and you don't want to open them because...
Don't
want to
know.
Right, well, maybe if you open them, you wouldn't have to sleep in the bath.
Yeah, or cook in the shower.
Studies show our relationship with money is formed from age 7. So for help tackling your finances, search Barclays Make Money Work For You.
Here's the truth about AI. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier, all built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/UK/AI for people.
Mystery. Yes, that price includes full technical support.
Oh dear, the buy now button on each page isn't clickable.
Layla's web development agency will soon have more clients than they can handle. To avoid a code red, she needs new programmers.
Okay, I've just tweaked the code, so everything should be fine now.
Indeed can help her find great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Because Indeed's hiring platform makes finding great talent easy. To start hiring, visit indeed.com/try today.
Wayfair can't help if an awkward silence hits your dinner party. But we can offer dining table sets from £295, so you always have a conversation starter. Shop thousands of deals this Wayday at wayfair.co.uk from the 5th to the 7th of October. Wayfair.co.uk.
We are on LBC with James O'Brien.
It is 12:48. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Shall I run through or should let's wait and see whether you need any reminders of what still needs answers. Jack's in St Albans. Jack, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on.
So it's the tins and the tin openings.
Yes.
So it's historically one of costs. So where a product was targeted to be cheaper on the shelf, they would use the one where you got to open it with a can opener rather than a ring pull.
Why didn't they? Because they'd make more money if everything had if there were no ring pulls at all.
So when the ring pull was introduced, they were more expensive, so they they are a more expensive piece of packaging and a way to do it. So if you're trying to cut pennies everywhere to make products as cheap as possible on the shelf...
Yeah. Well, then nothing would have a ring pull on it.
But then when brands have tried to premiumise to make it...
Oh, so it makes it a fancier offering. It makes it a fancier offering. Oh, I've got ring pulls on my tuna. Like, I've got ring pulls. It's a bit hyacinth bouquet. We have ring pulls on our tuna.
And it's all about sort of that making the consumer experience better and people... Apparently, really like the ring pulls.
Qualifications?
Used to work in packaging team for one of the UK's biggest retailers.
Love it. What is the reason why some tuna does have ring pulls and some tuna doesn't? The tuna that doesn't will be cheaper, probably.
Yeah.
So I'm buying the one with the ring pull on it. I'm buying the more expensive one. It's got a ring. It's a bit chicken and egg, isn't it? Has it got a ring pull? Is it more expensive because it's got a ring pull on it, or has it got a ring pull on it because it's more expensive?
Exactly.
But so if I'm a bit of a fancy pants and I don't want to buy the value range, I'm going to buy the one with a ring pull on it.
Yeah, but some companies will just go for everything with a ring pull on it because they may just get a bulk off and it's cheaper.
So it's got nothing to do with what's in the tin in terms of like health or hygiene or anything. Oh, lovely stuff. And qualifications are strong. And a round of applause for Jack, please. 12:49. We've got a problem, haven't we, with who wins the game? Two contenders here. Two very strong contenders. Jacob's in Edinburgh. Jacob, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
To what?
So it's an answer to the question about distinguishing between apes and monkeys and why people...
Why is our society so contemptuous, stroke ignorant, so ambivalent about the distinction between apes and monkeys?
Well, James, in a certain sense, the question itself was based on a false assumption.
Whoa, I'm going to do something I never do. I'm going to ask your qualifications before you give me the answer, because I can hear Dave. I can hear steam coming out of Dave's ears.
So I have a PhD in evolutionary biology, James.
Yeah, carry on then.
The problem with the question is that although the caller did correctly name the great apes, although he excluded humans from that, so we are also a type of great ape, apes are themselves a subtype of monkey. So apes are, in a technical sense, actually monkeys. And the reason for that is that taxonomists, or in the field of taxonomy, so that is the field of naming animals, it's based on the evolutionary relationships between those animals. And because apes are descended from the common ancestor of all monkeys, that means that we should technically regard apes as a type of monkey. That's exactly the same reason why we should regard humans as a subtype of ape, because we are descended from the common ancestor of all.
So in a way, the answer about the question about the distinction, the answer is because the distinction isn't quite as deep and significant as Dave thought it was.
Well, perhaps. I mean, that's not to say that it's not important to distinguish what apes are. So, apes do have certain key features that are specific to apes, but they also share the common the features that are common to all monkeys.
Right.
So all
apes are monkeys, but not all monkeys are apes.
Exactly. That's
exactly what I thought. I did hint at that, but Dave didn't like it at all. And you've got a PhD in evolutionary biology. I didn't ask Dave what he said. How do you pronounce the B word?
The B word, sorry?
The B-ape, the ape that begins with B. How do you pronounce it?
The ape. Bonobo.
Bonobo,
sorry.
He said it better. So you might be right, but Dave said bonobo. Bonobo.
Bonobo. Bonobos are very closely related to the common chimpanzee, and they're each other's sister species, and then the species that they're next most closely related to is us as humans.
Gosh. Well, you live and learn. Round of applause for Jacob there. I think that answered... No, thank you. I think that answered Dave's question, although I've got a feeling he won't be over the moon or possibly even satisfied. Joe's in Berlin. Joe, question or answer?
Yeah, it's another unsatisfactory answer to your question, I'm afraid.
What?
To the AI question.
What is consciousness, and can a computer ever achieve it?
Exactly, right? So we've already kind of surpassed the question of solving consciousness, right? We already have systems that can solve the Turing question, which is this original problem that was proposed by Alan Turing to decide if the computer was conscious. And
what was the definition again?
It was that you could sit in a room with a terminal in front of you and have a conversation with this computer, and you would leave the room convinced that you're talking to a person.
Yeah, that's not necessarily, I might be the Turing test, but that could just
exactly,
be...
Exactly, right? But yeah, the problem is now that the window's moving over and over and over again. So
exactly.
The problem is with the definition of consciousness and what we expect of a person to be and what consciousness means. And that's the challenge, right?
Yes.
And the interesting thing that the question asker had, which was when they brought it back to the foundations of the brain.
Yes.
And the original ideas for the machine learning systems that we have today were founded on this idea of break it down to one little piece of your brain and work from there. So that's why we have these neural networks that are based on the brain.
Okay. So we don't know really yet whether it's ever going to happen completely because we don't know exactly what final definition of consciousness we're working from.
But you could have a perfectly lovely conversation with ChatGPT today.
No, I know I could, but I wouldn't think it was conscious in any sense because it has learnt. Well, so have we. So there's something that we are before we learn anything that is consciousness. I am aware of my own existence. Is a computer aware of its own existence?
But the question...
If you ask ChatGPT, do you exist? What does it say? A million people
it will come up with what it thinks is the most likely thing you want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. That's
but
not consciousness.
But from the outside...
That's being a Conservative Party candidate. That's not being conscious.
Yeah. But when you observe it from the outside, you've no way of looking into why it said that.
Oh, I'm just more confused. This is how I used to feel when I was doing my philosophy degree, Joe. I literally this exact same feeling, sitting in there and going, what, man, consciousness, whoa.
But what would it take for you to accept the system you're talking to had a consciousness?
I don't know.
Aside from a revolutionary, economic plan. For
an original idea?
That involved torching everything in the span of...
A
couple of weeks.
An original idea.
But how would you even know that?
I don't know. This is what I mean about how I used to fill in my philosophy lectures.
Well,
why are you getting cross with me? I don't know anything.
But I know that I don't know anything,
and therefore I'm conscious.
An original idea could be come up with out
cogito,
of nowhere.
Cogito ergo sum, mate.
But you can absolutely come up with an original idea out of nowhere.
Cogito like, ergo
that's
sum,
not
in
hard.
It. Cogito ergo sum, in it.
That's original. That sounds amazing.
Well, it's not original. I think it's Descartes' definition of consciousness, or at least existence. Have a round of applause. I followed about 40% of that. Clever fella, eh? 12:56 is the time. This is funny. I mean, this really got me, Chris. He wrote, I'm not even going to explain this, because if you heard the call, you heard the call. If you didn't, you didn't. Chris has just written, Dave's got a lot of apologies to make. Jamie's in Christchurch. Jamie, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on, Jamie.
The answer is to the water that you fill up your bottle with.
Oh, yes.
Basically, it's to do with the temperature range of how safe the water will be to drink.
Okay.
So anything below 20 degrees and anything between around 45 to 47 degrees.
Yeah.
So it's sort of classed as stagnant water, and you have Legionella's grows in them temperature ranges. And so anything between 20 and 47 can potentially kill you. It's basically stagnant water then.
Yeah, but that's only temperature. How long can you keep it in a bottle below 20? Before it becomes problematic. Answer
well,
forever.
Below 20, it stops it growing.
So it's fine forever?
Well, not forever. I wouldn't want to...
Well, I wouldn't either, but it's just going to taste a bit bottly. It's going to taste a bit bottly, isn't it? But it's not going to do you any harm.
It could do.
Could it?
Yeah, I mean, I work in a care home and I have to flush any...
Steady. People are having their lunch.
Twice a week.
Right. Oh, do you? Oh, because of Legionella. All right, so we don't know.
Please.
I mean, it's a real how long is a piece of string, but you've certainly educated us, Jamie. Would you like a round of applause?
Yes, please.
There we go. Marvellous. Thank you, and well done. Chloe's in Richmond. Question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, Chloe.
It's about...
it was almost Carry On Cleo, that, wasn't it? But it was Carry On Chloe. Sorry, Carry On Chloe.
It's in response to the question about whether or why you...
Is Anne-Marie forgetting English? Is she forgetting English as she learns German?
She's not entirely, but she is a little bit. So there's two things going on. One is the idea that language is not just a set of words that you use to describe the world, but it's actually a thought process.
Yeah.
And the language you speak kind of influences the way you see the world. Not obvious things like, oh, that's a house, that's a car, that's a dog, but kind of concepts. And the other thing that's going on is this idea of what you call the living language, which is the language that you're sort of speaking day to day to communicate with people around you, to, you know, ask what you need or whatever. And if that's your current language, even though it might not be the language that you learned, say, as a child, your native language, whatever language that you're speaking in sort of takes that.
Oh, you're brilliant. Qualifications? Okay. No, you've got it. You've done it. You're over the line. That's
one
beautiful.
One more thing to say is that you...
I knew it. The phone line's gone. Have a round of applause. Can I do a poem? Can I do a quick poem?
Of course.
Because this is beautiful. This is about the cooling towers. I was talking to James Graham about it yesterday, and this is rather sweet because Alan has sent me a poem by his cousin, who is indeed a professional. And he wrote a poem about the cooling towers called Summer Clouds. The cloud factory standing next to the black as coal road that twists and winds its way like a frozen river spews out grey, venomous clouds that threaten harm and dampen spirits. I've heard it said they've closed the factories. That makes summer clouds. Isn't that nice?
Very nice.
We're going to talk about poetry on the programme tomorrow, as things stand. But now it's time for me to say, oh, who's the winner? Well, it's Gavin or Dave. It's Bonobo or Gavin, the bloke who learnt sign language to pull a girl. It's got to be Dave. It's got to be Dave. Sorry, Gavin, it's Dave. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, where you can also pause and rewind live radio, as well as listen to a range of podcasts, including podcasts about bonobos. Download now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4 on LBC, it's Tom Sawbrook, but now it's time for Shilly Fogarty.
Wayfair can't stop your kids leaving an assault course of toys in the hallway. But we can offer pendant lights from £55 to light the way. Shop thousands of deals this Way Day at wayfair.co.uk from the 5th to the 7th of October. Wayfair.co.uk.